Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. On the second day of the new year, 2019, I have with me my guest is freelance journalist David Colon, and he comes from New York, and he's here to talk about the Amazon proposed Amazon headquarters in Queens. So, Happy New Year, David. I think this Amazon story is quite interesting. I first read about it or heard about it the week after the election, which surprised me. And the second one was that de Blasio and Cuomo, you know, who were supposed to, you know, have been presented as arch enemies, kind of like did this deal together. So I found that also very interesting. So kind of tell us how the Amazon headquarters, how was Queens decided upon?
They, you know, the city put together a big package, like every other city did. There was a PDF of it going around. The Empire State Development Corporation showed it or made it public, and they presented a variety of places for Amazon to land. Dumbo was one. I forget what some of the other ones were, but you know, in the same way that the other cities were kind of showing up to Amazon and saying, here's our best offer for where you can locate and what the best places, you know, what incentives will be. You know, it was the same year-long process that everybody else did. And Amazon ultimately chose Queens. They have a lot of land over there that you can build on. You can turn it into its opportunity zone, which gives you another option for kind of some tax breaks, and it lets them use some of the other larger state tax breaks that focus on kind of development outside of Manhattan, and so you know they basically chose things that the city laid out a smorgasbord of places that they could land if they wanted to come here, and they picked Queens.
Do you think that it was a given right from the beginning and Amazon put all these cities through hoops and it was really a dog and pony show, and they knew from the very beginning when they wanted to do this that it would be in New York that they do it?
Who can look into someone's soul and say one thing or the other, but I am maybe sympathetic is the wrong word, but I understand people's arguments when they say, you know, I think it was John Caney from Reinvent Albany. He said to me when I talked to him, you know, Amazon didn't want to be a company town somewhere. They weren't going to go to Detroit or Buffalo or somewhere where if they plunk down 25,000, 50,000 jobs, it'll turn into Amazon town. You know, they want to be somewhere where they're not going to be the entire economy. They want to be somewhere where their employees want to live. And if you consider those factors, then it did seem strange that, you know, they would have picked places that were kind of outside of these corridors of power and finance that people were talking about. To be totally honest, I didn't think it was going to happen here. But I also had never considered the idea that Amazon just didn't want to be the people who were super responsible for an entire region's economy. And in New York, you know, people keep saying, oh, 25,000 jobs. But, you know, New York was up to, I think, 4 million jobs this year. So even though it sounds like a lot, it's still kind of a drop in the bucket here in a way that it just wouldn't be in other smaller places.
I know one of the people that has been vocal against it is Zephyr Teachout. And Zephyr Teachout ran for Attorney General back this in this summer, and there was an editorial in the Albany Times Union where it said that Sean Patrick Maloney was put up so that Zephyr Teachout would not get it, that votes would be taken away from Zephyr, from the congressman, and his choice of Tish James would become the new attorney general. Long story short, since Zephyr was against it or is against it, had she won, do you think that that would have created a headache for Governor Cuomo?
Probably. I don't think that the two of them have, you know, really seen eye to eye on just about anything before Amazon was around. I mean, she not only ran for attorney general, she ran against him for governor, you know, in 2014.
Right.
So, you know, I think that Tish James has said she's going to be independent, and, you know, I think that she deserves the benefit of the doubt before we all start kind of determining it one way or the other. I mean, I think that's the very least you can do for somebody. But it definitely would have been a more acrimonious way for the relationship there, like from the start, I'm sure. And that is, you know, maybe something that New York lost out on without having someone who didn't, like, kind of embrace the Cuomo team. But again, I mean, you know, I think that if Tish James is the, you know, does what she said she was going to do and stays as independent as she said she was going to, then I, you know, then it won't be as much of a disservice to New Yorkers. But yeah, it definitely would have been more of an issue had Zephyr been there from the start.
I know that Senator DeGeneres is against it, and Senator DeGeneres and Senator Andrea Stewart Cousins kind of works hand in hand. So how does Generis's disapproval of Amazon coming into Queens, how does that affect his relationship with the governor and also with the new incoming Senate?
I think that they'll find ways to work together on things that they both are in favor of. I mean, you know, I think that there's going to be some rocky relationships between the new Senate majority and Cuomo, because you have a lot of people who endorsed a number of things that he didn't, either they're further to the left that he wants to do, or he didn't want to do them at all. Cuomo, you know, you have a big single payer healthcare caucus. You have, you know, a decent amount of people who maybe want a millionaire's tax on the MTA and on the MTA, and that isn't really something that Cuomo wants to do, or, you know, put another one. But on Amazon specifically, I mean, I think that, you know, you have James Kufis, who's coming in, who said he's going to be, you know, investigating everything coming out of the governor's mansion and governor's office, and whether or not Kufis wants to turn that to, you know, all these economic development initiatives that Cuomo has done, especially including this one, I guess we'll have to see. And in the case of Gennaris, I mean, you know, he's the second most powerful Democrat in the state Senate now. They have to put new people on the Public Authorities Control Board, and that means there's going to be a Democratic Senate representative on there to go along with represented from the House, from the Assembly, who's Democratic. So if the Amazon deal has to go through there, it could be a little more contentious if even a piece of the Amazon deal has to be approved by them. You know, you're either going to see political wrangling of some sort, or you're just going to see them say no, which is, you know, you're not sure which way that's going to go so far.
I know also that the Assemblyman from Queens, Ron Kim, he's also against it. And his contention is that why give Jeff Bezos you know, all this money when there's so many young people in the state of New York who are burdened by student debt. And his contention is, why couldn't the governor relieve those people rather than give Bezos a little more money than what he has now? How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's an interesting idea, and I think that, you know, since when you talk to economists, economists apparently count something like future tax breaks or tax abatements as actual money in a state and city budget. So, you know, when Cuomo says we're not giving them money, an economist who kind of standardizes the way that municipal budgets go would say, yes, this counts as money. So in that sense, why not, take $1 billion and just let people and buy people student debt? I haven't been able to read the particulars of Ron Kim's plan. I know that he's also making it kind of the centerpiece of his public advocate campaign. So I'm not sure, you know, in that there's 8 weeks or so for that to happen. And so if he loses, then I guess he can kind of bring that to Albany and talk about it more. I mean, him and Jessica Ramos, state senator from Queens, are both kind of working on that on an Albany level. Student debt forgiveness is one of these things on the left that has been, you know, building a little bit more momentum going towards it. And if you know, I know that his idea is, well, if you get people out of debt, then they can kind of pursue their business dreams and other dreams, without as much fear. And that, you know, college debt, like you said, it's a huge issue for people. I have a lot of friends with, the student loans that they're still paying off. So it's certainly something to, study more. Like I said, I mean, I have to read the particulars of the plan a little bit more, but it's nothing out of hand as far as I'm concerned.
I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought.
Sure.
I'm so sorry. Now, it's been proposed, but it has not been finalized. So what do you see in Queens and maybe in other boroughs and maybe throughout the state? What do you envision the pushback is going to be, and how relevant a story will that be?
I think that this is going to reverberate for a pretty long time. Even if people aren't able to stop Amazon from coming here, I think that you're going to see a lot of the organizing that comes out, that kind of coalesces around it. That is going to stay a force in and of itself, because it already was a combination of longtime activists and people who kind of got more involved since 2016, the No ITC movement, other resist groups that are out there that have really kind of been making themselves felt in New York. So, you know, if Amazon isn't stopped and they have, you know, they start construction on their headquarters in a couple of years, it's not going to, these people aren't going to go away. There's going to be an anti-corporate bent to city politics, or even more so than there had been to begin with. And I think as far as, you know, what people are going to do to try to stop it right now, I mean, there's questions still about whether it can go, whether certain boards in Albany have to approve of pieces of the deal. Like I said before, the Public Authorities Control Board, whether that has to approve of either a small piece of the grant or all of the money that's being spent. And there are already, aside from Ron Kim's bill about student debt forgiveness, You know, he also has something that he wants to work on that's going to put a moratorium on, you know, these kind of giveaways, these kind of tax abatements. Senator Gianaris mm-hmm. has that insider trading real estate bill where you can't buy, you know, real estate based on what you know a company is going to do before it's gone public. And like I said, there's going to be investigations. There's going to be people just in general, I think, are reacting in a way that they never did for the larger or for the other Cuomo, you know, Excelsior Jobs Grants programs and these ICAP and REAP, the New York City based tax abatements. You know, we could see these things getting phased out. We could see these things getting limited, changed in some way. I think that people are still going to, deal with it in some way, that it's going to kind of be an unintended consequence of Amazon being here.
Now, I had read that allowing Amazon to come here is like giving a green light to any developer or person or real estate person who wants to come into New York. Do you think the Amazon deal is giving a green light to them as far as, okay, we did it for Amazon, we could do the same for you? What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like what I just said for the last question. I mean, the reason that there might be a legislative pushback is because nothing Amazon did or is getting is a special favor. All of these things, you know, the property tax breaks that are happening in that they're getting from the New York City budget, ICAP and REAP, both involve, you know, as of right, as long as you put together as long as you do not get the things on checklist, like you're relocating this many employees to these kind of places around the city, mm-hmm. you know. No one's going to say, well, you can't do it because they're already in the law, the Excelsior tax break programs also. And so, you know, people have on the one hand said, well, Google is expanding in New York, but they're not looking into ICAP and REAP. And should say that ICAP is the Industrial and Commercial Abatement Program. REAP is a Relocation and Expansion Assistance Program, and those are just a couple of the tax breaks that Amazon got. So, you know, on the other hand, Goldman Sachs threatened to, I think, move to New Jersey it was, and they got a big tax break from the Bloomberg administration. So it's not that this gave a green light in particular to Amazon. It's that the light was always green. It was just a question of whether or not you were going to, you know, I guess, drive through it, for keeping that analogy going. So that's why people might start to say, hey, a lot of these tax breaks are kind of relics of when lots of big companies were leaving New York City to go to other places back in the 70s, back in the 80s, and New York wanted to hold on to them. Why do we still need to do that if our economy is so strong and our job growth has been through the roof? What do we need this for? So that could happen, but I don't think that this provides any further incentive to any company that wants to take advantage of these existing tax breaks that just exist, and anybody can take them as long as they manage to fit into the requirements.
Do you think the resistance towards Amazon will basically be located in Queens? Or do you think other parts of New York City as well as upstate might also be involved in this movement?
I think the focus of it is going to be in Queens. I think that you saw that, you know, you see it right now with the Gianaris, Jimmy Van Bramer, the city council member, State Senator Jessica Ramos, and Ron Kim are some of the more are some of the louder voices on this, and they are all from Queens, if not from the exact area where the Amazon development is coming, like, you know, right next door or nearby, I think a lot of the organizations that are working against, you know, the grassroots organizations, Queens Neighborhoods United, Tessie's Rising Up and Moving, you know, groups like that are pretty Queens-based and Queens-centric. So I think that, you know, and I can't speak to what's going to be going on north of Westchester or anything. I'm a little less familiar with the politics up there. I think in New York City, whatever coalition that's coming together is going to take their notes or take their examples from whatever these Queens organizations are doing. You know, the Queens DSA has been kind of the focal point instead of the larger New York City DSA. You know, so I think it's a Queens-led issue that could kind of reverberate at least around New York City. I you know, if you live further upstate than me, I mean, I'm not sure what people in, you know, the Hudson Valley or Western New York would say about this other than, you know, well, why are we giving them so much money? But, you know, you have things like the Buffalo Billions, so it's not as if the money hasn't been spread around before.
Now, one of the things that I had read was that it was going to further congest the subway system. Okay, now, we're talking about X number of jobs. If that's going to further congest the subway system, will the people that be working at Amazon from the New York City area, or are they going to be transferred here from other parts of maybe the country or other parts of the world, maybe?
Sorry, excuse me. Well, you know, nobody knows right now what the plan is exactly as far as Amazon's hiring goes. They have said that they're committed to working with New Yorkers and trying to hire them. I'm sure they're going to hire some people who are not originally from New York. They're going to hire people who don't live in Sunnyside and Woodside and walking distance, you know, from this Long Island City headquarters. You know, I've seen a couple people who I respect on transit. They've kind of said, you know, that this idea that we're going to make everything too crowded is a little bit of a, oh, you know, the city's full, don't come here kind of attitude. And I do think that there is, things are going to get more crowded, presumably, hopefully, by the time they have everything, you know, they have, they're kind of in full swing. The seven trains signal issue should be totally fixed, and it's going to kind of, you know, it'll run more smoothly, and they'll be able to run more trains. And, you know, I don't, you know, we maybe this will spur the city to put a good bus network, you know, rapid bus network in, so you don't want it to be only going to the Amazon headquarters. The mayor still wants to do this Brooklyn-Queens connector thing, the streetcar, which is not a great idea. And you know, doesn't carry as many people as, say, a bus rapid transit could do. There are the ferries. There are people who are going to be there are people, though, who are going to be living in the neighborhood and who want to walk to work and who can do that. So, you know, it's just going to be more people. It's the same thing that's been happening in a lot of neighborhoods, that people just keep moving there. And, you know, that and it does get a crowded on those subway platforms. It's just a question of how quickly the city is going to move to, well, the city and state, and the state mostly, I guess, since they run the subways, how fast they're going to move on, you know, figuring out ways to make it less crowded on there, to move trains faster, buy more open gangway trains that, you know, those add more capacity, and to put things like bus rapid transit in addition to, you know, the mayor loves his ferries, and there are going to be ferries to Long Island City. There already is a ferry, so there'll probably be more ferries. You know, it's going to take a lot to do it, because there'll be more people, but it won't be 25,000 people in, you know, at once in 1 year. Even Amazon on their schedule, I think, you know, they said they have, they're going to add X number of jobs every year. You know, to eventually get to the total of 25,000.
I'm a baby boomer, and when I was a kid, I lived in Queens, and my father worked in Long Island City, and it was more or less an industrial zone. For people who don't know Long Island City, can you describe what Long Island City is like today?
Sure. I mean, it's it's less industrial. I kind of hesitate to say post-industrial because I think maybe that's a little bit more for economically depressed areas. I'm not sure. But, you know, it is a residential now. It is, one or two stops away from Manhattan on the 7 train. It's got the G train right there. That'll get you into Brooklyn. Some people really like that. There are, people have been putting up more waterfront condos. There's a lot of glass high-rises on the waterfront there now, on the East River. And it's just kind of, it's certainly gentrifying. It's got, a climbing gym. It's got, some fancy restaurants now. It's certainly not as gentrified as, your classical cases of it, like in Williamsburg or, Bushwick's on its way up, I guess, place somewhere like Chelsea. But it's still, I think, people describe it as kind of still being an affordable near Manhattan area where, if you wanted, I followed around a canvasser who was doing anti-Amazon stuff, and he talked to a woman who said, if you want space to have a kid and live, somewhat near the city, then this is still one of the few neighborhoods left to do that. So I think that's what people are kind of worried about with the coming of Amazon, that could change.
So, like I think you said it towards the beginning of this conversation, you believe this is going to be an ongoing issue for quite a while, right?
Yes.
Okay. Would you be interested from time to time whenever a new development comes along to come on Focus on Albany to share your thoughts on the Amazon headquarter deal as it evolves?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess as long as it's something that I'm familiar enough to talk about, I'm always happy to do that.
Terrific. So you're a freelance journalist. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I have lived in the city for over 10 years now. I forget at this point, but I know it's been more than 10 years. I grew up in Long Beach, so right outside the city. I moved here, right after college. I ran a blog called Brooklyn for a number of years. It was my first journalism job, and then I worked at Gothamist before we all got fired in that union drive when they fired us all and shut down the company. And I've just been writing for a variety of publications since. Gotham Gazette, Splinter, Curbed. I've been doing it. That's where I've done a lot of my Amazon stuff for. Just scraping out an existence down here in the city.
So if anybody needs something that they need written and you could supply that, how could they contact you?
Sure. You can my website is davidmcolon.com. It's D-A-V-C-O-L-O-N as last name. You can also find me on Twitter, though that's at Dave C-O-I-O-N. There's a complicated and dumb reason for that that I won't go into, but just people should note that. So you can DM me or tweet at me or whatever. You can find my email on my website. I'm pretty much around.
Okay, thanks, David. Happy New Year, and I look forward to speaking with you again. And thank you, everybody, for listening. You've been listening to Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, Hashtag Focus on Albany. David, have a great day. Have a wonderful new year. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Cynthia. Happy New Year to you, too.